One of the things I love about living abroad, or more specifically in the US, is that I get to interact with people from across the globe. It's something I've always wanted to do my whole life, and now here I am interacting, learning, and asking questions my childhood self would have probably wanted to. I think it's a safe thing to say that my guest today was almost a chance encounter, because the same day I had stumbled across a draft episode from this podcast, and then it reminded me how I'd envisioned this podcast to go in the start. So I decided it's time to start putting in more active efforts. And the same evening, I meet my guest, Raghad Mansoor. Raghad is from Saudi Arabia and is currently temporarily living in the US for work. Right from the get-go, I found Raghad to be brave and spontaneous, two qualities I absolutely admire in people. So hear us talk about some great topics in this episode, from adapting to a new culture and language, narratives of the world and how it's never the same in reality, life in Saudi as a woman, Arabic music, and so much more. I hope you can enjoy this episode as well as learn a few things. On a side note, I've also been wanting to reach out to more people with unconventional stories and background. So if you think you or your friend might be a good fit, please, please reach out. Finally, make sure to follow this podcast if you haven't already on Spotify or wherever it is that you're listening from, and share it with your friends. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Whole New World. It's been a minute. I was here, I think, a year ago, and you know, things happen, life gets in the way. But I'm so excited for today because I'm actually recording in person. I've never done this before, and in a live studio with my guest. So I'm really excited for you to meet her today and get to know her a little bit. So welcome. So Raghad, thanks so much for doing this and taking some time out of your day. I'm so excited.
Of course. Hi, this is Raghad. I'm from Saudi and I'm very excited and very happy to be here.
Yeah, so usually I always give context to my listener as to how we met and how I met my guest. So we have quite an interesting story. So I was going to this blues dancing class and I happened to be in this WhatsApp group where I just randomly posted. I just thought, you know, it was kind of last minute, but then I was like, okay, I'll just put there that I'm going to this blues dancing class, and if anyone's interested, they'll just tag along. I wasn't expecting anyone to actually respond to that, so I was quite surprised when you did, and you were like, yeah, I'll come, it sounds really fun. And that's how we met. And I didn't think that you would show up, but you did. And then we met and we had such a good conversation before the class started, because the class started really late, and then we had some time to like talk, and it was so funny. It was such a good coincidence, because the same day, I think I told you about this, I was listening to like some of my episodes from my podcast, and I was like, oh man, I need to find more guests to talk, because this is such a good concept and I feel like so many people can learn so many things from this. And I was like, I need to find more people, I need to do this again. And the same day I meet you, and I was like, and as soon as you start talking about like, we go into like deeper into the conversation, and you were like, you're just sharing your story, I'm like, oh my god, wait, stop, save this for my podcast. And so here we are talking and in person, and then you said, let's do this in person. I was like, only thinking online, and that's how I usually talk to people. And then you were like, let's do it in person. I was like, yeah, I didn't even think about that, because we can do that since we are in the same place. So okay, I know we already, I think you have to repeat a lot of things that you have already told me, so get ready for that. So the first thing is, okay, so I know that you're from Saudi Arabia, and the minute you mentioned it, I was like, you are the second person that I met from Saudi. And there was one person, he was my friend, and we hung out for a couple of times, and he told me a lot of things about the culture, and then, you know, the music, and I remember so much, and I was like really fascinated by it since then. So I always get excited when there are people from, you know, countries that I don't really get to interact with. And so I was like, immediately, I was like, oh my god, I know about like Saudi Arabia, I know a little bit of things, I mean, I don't know everything, but you know. And I was excited, you're the first woman that I met. And I always remember the first time that I hung out with the guy from Saudi, who was my friend, and you know, I always used to ask him like, how are the women there like, and what's their life like. And when I got to meet you in person, I was like, oh my god, I've never met a woman. I think I told that I never met a girl from Saudi, so I was so excited. So tell us, like, how did you end up being in the United States? How long has it been here for you to be in Denver, in specifically? And, like, what are you doing here? So just walk us through your journey a little bit.
Okay, so me coming here to the U.S. was very sudden and very quick. Like, I received my visa a month before my flight.
Oh, wow.
So everything was very last minute. And very last minute. I'm here as a part of a program that my company offers. I'm an external auditor and I get to work with international companies.
Yeah.
So my company is based in the US and they have a branch in the Middle East, which is in Saudi.
Mm-hmm.
And they offered me this program to come work for the Denver office for around a year to a year and a half. And
yeah.
I was so excited about this opportunity and the process was very long.
Yeah, I can imagine.
To the point that I thought that I would never be accepted because there was a lot of interviews, a lot of things that I have to fill.
Yeah, paperwork.
Everything, yeah.
Fun.
Very fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I'm here.
And it's been, what, 6 months, you said?
6 months so far, yeah.
How do you like it so far?
Well, I'm not going to lie. At the beginning, it was very hard and very tough for me, especially in Saudi or in the Arab world in general, we're very family people.
Yeah.
We like to be in groups. I have a lot of friends. I have all my family. We're seven kids. So we're a big family. Yeah. And we're very close together. So coming here and not having that anymore was a bit of a shock to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not used to being
this. It's quite family. A switch. Yeah.
It is. And especially going to work with people who, I speak English very good. And
you
I know
do.
That, but there's still a very huge language barrier when it comes to you talking to native people. So people who have been talking this language since they were 2 or 3 years
exactly.
old. So it was a shock in every way. I have never been alone in the manner that I am right now.
Yeah.
I have never been responsible to get a place, to pay for electricity, to get my groceries, and to be responsible for every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
That's not something that I'm used to. This is a very new experience for me.
Yeah. And
it was very tough at the beginning, but now I think I've adapted to the new life. Yeah, I'm more comfortable now.
Yeah, no, that's what I felt when I first came here. I was like, oh my God, you have to do everything yourself. Like, because I think even for South Asian communities, like, we are always, like, you know, dependent on each other for one thing or the other. And so I think me and my South Asian friends, we talk about this a lot, like, how, you know, there's family to support you if not doing well in one aspect of your life. There's always going to be support, and you know that they are going to be there. But here, it's like everybody's doing everything themselves, which I like. I'm not gonna like. I think I'm a little bit different when it comes to my friends. Like, they think they feel like that's. I feel like this is like freedom, and I love it. And I know it has its hard days too, but I always wanted this. But at the same time, when there are times. You know, and I think it's also because I'm the oldest child, and so I've always been like this my whole life, so maybe it was not that hard for me. My sister suffers, like, she's like the middle child. She's like, she complains about it all the time. She's like, why do I have to do everything myself? It's so hard. But I like that you talked about the English thing, because I feel the same way. Like, I feel like I've grown up watching all these American TV shows and movies, and I thought, like, oh my God, I know this language really well.
It's so different.
But for the first time I was interacting with people, Americans here, I was like, oh my God, I don't understand this language. I don't know what they're saying. And I was like, wait, am I stupid? Like, do I not know English?
Yeah,
I thought
exactly.
I learned it. I thought I was good at it. What happened? And then, yeah, I know that. I think a lot of immigrants go through, and people find it, like, they are so quick to overlook it, but I think a lot of people go through this stuff. And okay, so you move here, now you're in Denver. So what are some of the things that, when you first came here, like, what were the cultural shocks?
Well, to be honest, there were not that many culture shocks, considering that we grew up with pop culture and we kind of know what to expect here in the US.
Yeah.
But maybe the work culture was a bit of a shock for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the Arab world, we like more the nightlife. So our days start very late.
Here, I noticed that.
The days start very early, which was a bit of an adoption to me, because I had to learn how to wake up very early before even the sun rises, which is something very new to me. But Yeah.
So you're not a morning person then?
I was back home.
You were, okay.
But when I came here, I used to wake up at 7, which is not a morning person here. You need to be to wake up at 4 or 5.
No, that is crazy.
That's a very good thing. Yeah.
I think so, yeah. There are a lot of people who do it. I'm a morning person, but I wake up at 6. Like, that's my time.
That's
but
like not, a normal person yeah. time, yeah.
But five people who wake up at 5, what do you guys do? I don't know. I don't think that's a, but... Okay, so is it like, I've noticed this about like Arabic culture and people, everyone's a night person for some reason. Is that why is it, because of the weather? I'm like guessing, and because it's usually hot and that's why it starts late. Is that the reason or do you think?
I think that's a huge aspect of it. Yeah, I think. And we just love the nightlife. Like,
yeah.
If I'm going out with my friends, that starts at 9 or 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Which normally is not the case here. People start gathering at 5 or 4.
Yeah.
Which is very weird to me.
I feel like, yeah, people here, even if they're meeting for drinks, they start really early. And I think even back home, I don't think it's a thing. Like, we gather around 7 or 8.
Exactly.
Yeah, then we start, and then it goes, like, really late in the night. And actually, because I'm not a night person, I will be, like, by 10:30, I'm like, I need to go to bed. So this culture fits perfectly. I went home last year and I had this issue because like my family were trying to do like some social gatherings while I was home. And then they would start like, they were like, we're not getting started until like 8 or 9. I'm like, what? I didn't want to go to bed by then. Yeah. Oh, there's so many reverse. When I went back, there were so many reverse culture shocks. And I think that kind of is a perfect segue to the next question that I was going to ask you. Because I know you'll be here for like about a year.
Yep, yeah.
And then I was thinking, so, you know, you will definitely by a certain time, you know, you won't be here for that long. But even if it's for a year, you will still have gained certain like cultural, you know, you kind of adjusted to this culture, right? So how do you think you'll be adjusting when you go back?
Well, that's a very tough question because when I think about back home, I just think that I miss everything and I just want to go back home. So
yeah.
I don't know what are the things that would be different to me, but maybe I'm trying to think about something. But I think maybe that shift between the night and the morning would be a huge adoption again.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe the work culture. I'd say one good thing about being in the U.S., and I'm very frank and very honest about this.
Yeah.
Women are not being discriminated in any way in the work culture, or at least this is my experience. Like, I am different because I'm Arab, and they're not used to seeing Arab, and they're not used to seeing Muslim women.
Yeah.
But I never felt like I'm part of a boys' club like I do back home, if I'm being frankly and I'm being honest. Like, our work culture is mainly dominated by men, and this thing is changing, but it's still in that process of being changing.
Yeah.
It's not quite there yet. And I've noted that this is a huge difference between the work culture, between back home and here.
What are some of the things that you find, like, that stands out to you, like, here, that you feel like women are... because a lot of women here still complain about how they are not given equal opportunities as their male counterparts. So I wonder, like... what do you think some of the things that are like just stood out to you when you first started working here?
Well, one thing that I'm always being treated as in back home is that I'm being treated different because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
For example, my work requires me to stay late at night. Sometimes we would stay until 9, until 10.
Yeah.
I would be, and some people would not think of that as discrimination, but for me that is discrimination.
Yeah.
When you tell me that I can't stay that long because I'm a woman and the boys will stay that long and finish the job, I'm equal to you. I'm the same as you.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be treated differently just because I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never noted that here.
Like, yeah.
Women's safety come first, but it's for all of us. And it's not specifically just for women. If we're staying late, we're all staying late. It's not just one person. And it's not, you're not being treated differently because you're just a woman.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, yeah, it does. I think there's a little safety concern as well, but... as you said, that doesn't mean that, you know, we are not able to do it. There are some women that still, because my mom used to work late in the night. I remember she worked in a bank and she stayed like when she had like those closing times, I think it was called, I don't know, like the fiscal year or something. She used to get really busy and then she would stay like late in the night working in the office. So, yeah, I mean, Yeah, as I mean, there's definitely that hesitancy as to, because it's not as safe as in the United States. Not saying that United States is like completely safe, but it's definitely a lot safer than where I come from, or I don't know if that's the case for Saudi Arabia
exact
too.
Opposite.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I think that's what I've heard. Like women there are a lot more safer. Yeah.
Yeah, I would go out at 2 a.m. and 3 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And be fine driving that late in the night.
Yeah.
I've never done that in the U.S.
Oh, I actually did not know that. I mean, I've heard that women there have, like, I know that the laws are really strict. And then, you know, I've heard things about, oh, women there are a lot safer, but I didn't know why. Can you explain why that is the case? Like, why do you think that you feel, like, more safe driving, like, late in the night or...
I think because honestly we have cameras everywhere, especially in the streets. Like there are a lot of cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think we're people that are, we care what people say, and
yeah.
I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
And that is beneficial in those terms, that it creates a safer environment for women,
mm-hmm.
because they're always being protected by the people around them, and you know, everyone knows everyone, so
yeah.
it kind of create that safe environment.
Makes sense. So speaking of that, what are some of the things that you miss about being in Saudi Arabia? I mean, considering food and family, what are some of the things that you miss about Saudi Arabia, and what are some of the things that you do not miss about Saudi Arabia?
Well, this is something that's not specific. It's just to my situation.
Yeah.
I don't miss the traffic. I drive here, I just walk everywhere, and
yep.
if I need to, I'll just use the train or Uber,
mm-hmm.
so I don't miss the traffic at all.
Yeah.
I know it's very bad here, but I'm not part of it.
So you're like, I don't
yeah.
really care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What else? Well, I mean, the food there is just,
it's so good.
It's something different. I'd say... I used to think that I live in Riyadh, which is the capital. I used
yeah.
to think that Riyadh is very expensive. Then I came to Denver and
oh,
I realized
yeah.
it's not that expensive.
Oh, Riyadh is not expensive, or it is expensive?
It's not.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not.
Denver is, I don't know what's happening, but everyone is moving here and it's like going up and up. And I think it's also because of the inflation, but yeah, it's definitely expensive.
It's so crazy. Supermarkets are crazy.
Oh, the groceries, yeah.
yeah.
I am just like, every time I go there, I'm like, oh my goodness, everything costs so much. Are those the only things, or are there anything else?
And one main thing, I don't think it's being talked about enough. It's just, this is my first experience going out of my country and actually
yeah.
living somewhere else. And I think I used to take for granted being someone that is normal and that
yeah.
is in the normal context. Like I was a Saudi girl, middle class, working, and
yeah.
I was not someone who stood out in any way,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the case when I came to the US, where it was this very different person, and
yeah.
I think I miss being just a normal person.
Okay, very interesting. Wait, can you explain more, like, why do you feel like here you are not like a normal person?
I think it's just people always, whenever I say I'm from Saudi or I'm Muslim or,
yeah.
or whatever, I'm always looked at in a different way.
Okay.
And sometimes even when you talk with people, they'll always look at you differently, and they will not think of you as someone who's just a normal person.
Okay. And okay, let me just ask more in detail to that. So what do you think are some of the stereotypes that you receive when you say that you are from Saudi Arabia?
Like, there's certain situations or certain conversations that I had with people, they think that because I'm from Saudi, I'm Muslim, or I'm from the Middle East, that I don't know what happens in the world, or that
yeah.
there are certain things that I'm not allowed to see when it
mm-hmm.
when it comes in terms to media and whatever. And
yeah.
we're a very open nation. Like,
yeah.
the whole world is one open nation, and everyone knows everything about everywhere in the world. And to think that I don't understand certain things because I'm from Saudi,
that's, yeah.
you know that.
Yeah, yeah. No, oh, I completely get that. When I first came here, and when I told people that I'm from Nepal, you won't believe, some people asked me this question. They said, wait, do you guys have roads? like, how do you have guys have roads there? I'm like, no, I just like, yeah. We fly. We use our airplanes. We fly all the time. Yeah, that's our mode of transportation. What do you mean there are no roads? Obviously, there are roads. And they think that it's like some poor country and like some third world country where there's, you know, and they think that we don't know anything. And like, come on, people like be like, you should always go in with an open mind and knowing that you may not know certain things. But I would always go in with like an open mind and ask questions because I'm always curious. I was like, tell me more about your country, like what it's like. And actually when I, you know, before meeting my friend, I didn't know anything about Saudi Arabia. I just knew some of the things. Like I mean, I had a lot of stereotypes for it too. But when I met him and had, you know, conversations with him, and I was kind of surprised that, you know, he talked about like women, and he was so open-minded, and I never would have pictured an Arab guy. Like, that was my mindset before meeting him. I was like, I mean, usually, like, you know, they are pictured as like these conservative men, and then, you know, they're like against like women's rights or feminism, but he was quite the opposite. He talked freely about feminism. He's like, yeah, I support feminism, I support my sisters. And I try to like advocate for them, and I don't know how much of that was real, but he told those things, and he was very open-minded, and I was kind of taken aback, and I was like, oh my god, you know, and you know so little about a person or a place, and before having those conversations, I'm like, yeah, that's so important. So that were some of the stereotypes, but like, what are, I guess, like some of the stereotypes that you had for like here in the, like about American people or the US in general? That you, when you came here, you were like, oh, that was actually not true. What was shown in the media is not true. What do you feel like? There's some moments like that.
Well, honestly, coming here to the US, I thought everyone would have a gun and just walk around with their gun.
Classic.
Like, yeah, that was my biggest fear. Like, yeah. Being fearful of, for my safety.
I was too. I was actually, I was also in fear. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, continue. Sorry.
It is, like, the media pictures America to you.
Right.
It's something very different. Like,
yeah.
My first month, I was so scared to even walk alone in the
Me
street.
Me too.
And coming here, walking in the night, walking in the morning, seeing people, they're not as bad as the media picture.
Not everybody carries a gun.
Exactly. Yeah. And even if they do, they're not like,
not like putting it in their pockets and like just going like grocery with their guns in their pockets. Just imagine. That's exactly what I felt too. I remember, like, it was my first month, and I was telling one of my friends who had lived here before, and she was here for like 2 or 3 years, and I was telling her, she asked me like, how's your time been, and I was like, I don't know why, but I'm a little paranoid that, you know, if I'm like walking anywhere, like going groceries or like going by myself, someone will come and shoot me. And I was like, I was actually scared about that. I'm not gonna lie. It's because the media painted it that way, and we only heard so much about like the gun violence. And I know it's a thing, it's an issue in the US, but it's not like it's happening like every other day. And that's what, oh my goodness, like seriously, the media kind of, it portrays like a certain picture of every part of the world. So that's why I always tell people to like use your best judgment when you're, and now I work in communications and for the government, and now I understand so many of the back picture, like how everything works. And I'm like, oh my god, I cannot believe that, you know, there's so many things that people don't know about, and how the picture is painted, and how, you know, people, the government wants you to see them, or the media wants you to see the government. There's so many things involved in it. But yeah, I think always go in an open mind, is all I say. So
yeah, and the narrative is being manipulated. Like,
yeah,
it's not true life. It's not true.
Exactly. And yeah, when I met him, I was like, I after that, I just fell in love with like the Arabic culture, like the music, and he introduced, I think we kind of talked about the music too, and now Arabic is in the list of my language that I want to learn, and like I have so many lists, like my language list is like really big, but Arabic is definitely on it, because I find it so poetic for some reason. And I know we talked about, and first when I heard it, I was like, oh my god, this is kind of aggressive.
Yeah,
but then there's like involved in it, but the more I heard it, and the music and the poetry and everything, I'm like, okay, this is, I don't know, something about it feels poetic, and I really like it for that reason. So
that's nice.
Maybe someday I will speak Arabic. I don't know. We'll see about that. Okay, so I have some of the questions before. I don't want to miss the questions that I had like in mind, so that I'm just going to go back to my notes and see. It was something that really stuck with me when you said, I remember we were in that dance class, and I think we talked a little before, and then you said that we have different personalities, like in the U.S., like yeah. our American personality is different than versus like our personalities back home. So
yeah.
can you share more about that? I thought it was a really interesting concept.
Yeah, so I think this happens a lot. I don't yeah. know. I thought it was only me, but I'm
That's what I felt too. But it's not true.
Oh, yeah. So back home, I was a very shy person. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm generally not a very social person back home.
Yeah.
Like, I have 3 or 4 friends, and they've been my friends for like 12 to 10 years. And
Same.
I barely meet new people. I
yeah.
barely do new things. I'm always surrounded by the same things. The
yeah.
same everything.
Same atmosphere.
Yep. But when I came here, I had nothing of what I know.
Yeah.
Like, everything was so different. Everything that I'm used to is no longer here.
Yeah.
So I had to create all those new things. And I think I introduced a new personality along the
yeah.
way. Yeah.
I love that. I think that's what I did, too. And when you said that, I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's exactly what I feel. Because yeah. back home, I don't think, like, as you said, same friends, for 7-8 years, but there was this one point for me, I don't know if it was the same for you, but I feel like I need to see more, like, I felt like I was kind of getting bored by my life there, and then I was like, I don't know, I want more from, this can't be it, like, there should be more to life, and I always knew that I was gonna move, and my parents did not believe it, they thought that I was just, like, joking, or just, like, one of those things that I was saying, but I was like, I was telling them right from start, like, I'm not gonna be here, I'll definitely move at some point in my life, and they were not believing it until I actually came here, and when I came, I felt the same way, like, and I was also, like, I'm an introvert, like, I don't like labeling myself, but I feel like I am an introvert for the most part. I'm usually very reserved, and I used to be that way back home. I did not go out of my way to make new friends. My younger sister was usually the person. She was like that, and when I came here, we just switched. I for some reason, and she's like, yeah, she keeps saying, like, you were never like this when you were back home. Now you're just, like, going, meeting all these people, and how many friends do you want? You already have enough friends. I'm like, but I like meeting people. That's I don't know what it is about that. And I think while in the process of building my new life here, I started, like, meeting more people, and I got more confident, and I mean I'm still introvert, but I like doing that, and I think this is my new personality now. It's my American personality. And when I went back, my parents were kind of shocked that, you know, I was like, wait, you are kind of different. You were not like this. Like, because I went after, like, 4 years, and they found that my personality was quite different. So I know that you said, you talked something about it, and this was another thing that I really stood out to me. You said talked about the fear mindset and how we grow up with that fear mindset as, like, women in our cultures. Can you expand more on that?
Well, I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about our relationship with fear in general.
Yeah.
How was that portrayed to us as kids, and what does that mean to us now?
Yeah.
And that came up to me when, and I think in my 3rd month here or 4th month here, I wanted to go to the train, and it was late at night. It was, I think, at 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
I just got back from work.
Yeah.
And if I was a normal person, I would not get on that train because I saw things. I mean, you've been
crazy
to the train
things.
Here.
I have.
Yeah.
I have, yes.
So you know what to expect.
Yes.
And I saw things that I was so fearful, but in my mind, that fear did not mean that.
You're not going to do it
run
again.
Run for your life.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It just meant push through it. This is not a good feeling. Let's push
yeah.
through it. Let's not listen to it. And I think the way that I acted that day, or the way that my mind translated that
yeah.
fear, was drawn by the fact that I was raised, I don't think as a woman, but I think as people, we generally were raised to be fearful.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's part of our culture. It's
yeah.
part of a lot of things that were happening at that period of time.
Yeah.
And we were raised to just be fearful, and I hated that. And
yeah.
I just grew up hating feeling fearful, so I would just go into things without thinking
yeah.
and without interpreting, without translating
yeah.
fear in a normal manner.
Yeah.
And I would say just run through that. Don't
yeah.
don't listen to that, because fear to me has always felt like something that would ground me, or something that would just
hold you back,
hold me back in a circle, yeah. or not do the things that I wanted. So that's my philosophy about fear, and that's what I'm trying to accept, that fear is good.
It is good.
We should listen to fear sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But not like completely give into it and hold back from things that we want to do. And that is, I you know, I never thought about that until when you mentioned it. And I was like, that's so true. And I think, I don't know how much of it, I mean, every human being is like brought up, as you said, you know, with that fear mindset, that we, there are certain things that you need to be careful about. But I think as women, it's a little bit more, I feel like, and especially coming from like my culture, South Asian culture in general, I think that was the case all the time. I remember I used to ride bikes when I was like maybe 10 or 11. Like after school, I used to get so excited to like come back from school and like get my bike and get outside and like go for a ride, bike ride. And then I was in a very city environment. So I remember my parents and my grandparents who looked after me then would be always like, oh, do not go farther than this. Like you'll get in trouble, or, you know, it's not a good neighborhood. Like, do not go past this neighborhood. And so they would always like put limits around everything. And I was like a good kid. So I never questioned it. I was like, okay, fine. That's it. If they say it, it must be true. And that's what I did. But then a part of me, I think at some point when I, especially in my like late teens and early 20s, I was like, it's holding me back, like for everything. Like, why can't I go for walks, like evening walks and during the night? Why can't I, you know, go like just like my, you know, the men in my family, just like go out whenever I want? Why is there a limit for everything? So that just felt like it was like the same feeling of like being just hold back. And, you know, I couldn't go out whenever I wanted or the places that I wanted. And we grew up so much with this fear. And then I always felt like I wasn't going to be like this adventurous or person ever in my life who's never going to take risks. But I think inside I was like dying to do that. And like coming to the US was like a big part of it. I can't even tell you so many people tried to hold me back. They were like, nope, it's going to be hard. Get married and go with a guy. You know, that's much easier. Like, why do you want to do all that by yourself? Like, it's going to be hard. And I was like, yeah, but I want to do that. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to take the risk. I want to go. I want to do all the hard work. I don't need a man to do that. And so many people were like, it's going to be difficult. You'll be by yourself. You don't know anyone there. How are you going to make new friends? So many questions. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to listen to any of this. I'm just going to go.
I
did it. And now for everything, I feel like I'm a little bit of risk. I live on the edge sometimes because I'm like taking all these risks, and my parents are always like, especially when I do any outdoorsy stuff and when I do some adventurous thing, and they're like, I never tell them, and when I tell them, they're like, what? You did what? You're climbing mountains? You're doing like what? You're jumping off a cliff? Like, I'm like, well, this is me now, so, you know, it's really fun when I get to say that, and they're like, but you were never like this. And I was like, well, maybe because I was hold back a little bit. Yeah. And yeah, I think, and it's a big part of the culture, I feel like, also.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if you raise the kid who's fearful, that kid will not be safe. Like, things are going to happen. This is the world. This is real life. Like, bad things are going to happen even if you're the most fearful person in the world and you're very careful and you calculate every move that you do. Mm-hmm. But life is gonna happen, and we need to teach our kids how to survive in those conditions rather than just make them fearful.
That's a good way to look at it. It's a good parenting tip also. I feel like, I think that's always, it's good to be careful, but not to a point where you are like, you know, just fighting, like holding everything back and feeling like, oh, there's something wrong that's gonna happen, and like being just this fearful person. It's always good to be careful, but yeah, don't be like too paranoid and like get attached to that fear mindset, I guess. Okay, so speaking of that, let's move a little bit from the fear topic. So what was your like typical day in a life like in Seoul? Like, what are the people there? Like, what do people do for fun? What's the culture there? Like, what's a typical day in the life like?
Well, my Saudi personality was very boring.
I love that.
I worked a lot of hours. I was a workaholic. I loved my work and I gave it all my life.
Yeah.
So I would normally, I'm trying to think of what good things that I did or fun things that I did.
Yeah.
We love coffee. We drink coffee all the time. all the time. Like,
love that.
11 p.m., 10 a.m., we're at coffee shops. We love our coffee.
Yeah.
So, coffee shops is a big part of it. Like, I'd go out with friends.
I actually didn't know that.
Family. We love coffee.
Okay. I'm convinced.
What else? I used to play padel, which is like tennis.
Yeah.
That was a thing. Like, in Riyadh, I think for the last 4 years, a lot of padel places has opened up. So, would do that. In the winter, the Riyadh becomes a very magical city. Like,
yeah.
It rains and
I remember my friend telling me that. Oh, yeah.
It comes for like a 1 month to 1 month and a half. So you'd see everyone on the streets.
Just like
would go in the rain. In the rain. Everyone in the world hates rain.
Yeah.
For us. No. We love rain. Yeah.
I think is that the only time when it's like a little cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most where it's breathable. Yeah.
That's fun. Okay, so this is something that I wanted to kind of mention. So you said that this was your yes, like you're gonna say yes to like everything that comes your way. How has that been going so far for you?
Well, it brought me here.
Yes.
I'm
so glad you decided. I was like, yay. You're like, yeah, sure. I was like, wait, you're not hesitant? Because usually when I ask people to like do podcasts and they're like, I don't know. I'll be a little nervous. I'm not a good speaker. Or some people, especially I interview like immigrants and they'll be like, my English is not good. I'm like, it's not about that. It's just, you know.
Talking.
Yeah. I'm not going to like test your English. It's not an English test. You're just going to share your story. And some people have such great stories, but they are like hesitant to come and talk. And I was so surprised. We had just met for like a little while and you said yes. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. I was so excited. I was
you
like,
you met
yeah.
me at the very right time.
You did.
Like, yeah. For everything.
You're like, so, okay. So you've been saying yes to everything. So you came dancing and you did a really good job. That was your first blues dancing class. And that was really fun too. So speaking of dancing, I think in Arab culture in general is like a very fun culture, and I don't know if that's the case for women too. What are some of the things that, you know, like when there are social gatherings, like are there any sort of like dances? And I know I've heard some things, but it was like for I think a different country. I think it was, I don't know, I talked to somebody from Egypt, I think, and she said that people there like actually do belly dancing when they are like together.
Yeah.
Is that an actual thing?
Yeah, in Egypt, yeah.
So not in Saudi Arabia, so that's not the same case there.
So when you think about the Middle East, it's a very diverse culture, even though you might not think that it is.
Yeah.
It is kind of diverse. When it comes to Gulf region, like Saudi, Qatar, Kuwait, United Emirates, we're a bit more closer and we have a similar culture than when you compare us to Egypt or Lebanon or Syria and that part of the world. So when it comes to Saudi, one major thing would be, which maybe is a bit different, is that we gather separately. Like, men would gather separately from women, and that's how we were raised, that's our culture, and I think it's just a different culture. It's not about right or wrong, it's not that there's one way to do it. But when you go to other cultures, like in Egypt, Lebanon, they're used to gathering all together, women and women would be together. A different aspect.
Yeah.
So when it comes to things that we do in our gatherings, it's different based on your economic situation, like, which is...
Yeah, I think it's the same for every part of the world.
But what we usually do, we do dance, but we dance our own dances. Like, it would be different than what they do in Egypt. It would be different than what they do in Lebanon.
Yeah.
And even in Saudi, we have different dances based on where you were raised or where you're from.
Okay.
Like, I think in the south, it would be very different from, like, the middle of Saudi, which is Riyadh and other regions around it. We do dance, it's just different.
Okay. Yeah, I see. I didn't know. That's why I am on this podcast. Because even I don't know a lot of things about, like, you know, the culture. And I feel like I get to learn so much because I almost felt like, you know, I mean, I definitely knew that not every Arabic culture is the same. But I mean, no, I didn't know what the differences are really, right? So, but I'm guessing the language is still the same, or does it have like variations based on where?
So it's all Arabic. It just has very different dialects.
Okay.
And it seems like a very different language.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But will you be able to understand someone speaking from a, like, someone who's from a different, like, say, Lebanon or someone, you would still be able to understand it. Okay.
It's just certain words that they wouldn't know how to say it in Saudi, and I would not know how to say it in Lebanon, but basically,
interesting. So, another question. So, I know that you said, like, men and women are kind of, like, not as much together. And so, has that affected you, like, being here? Does that make it any, like, are you, like, hesitant around men a little bit? Or has that changed anything at all for you, like, to adjust in the U.S.?
So, when it comes to separating men from women, this is more of a social life kind of norm.
Yeah.
But in my work, I used to work in a mixed environment, so I'm used to that. I don't think there was an issue because I'm used to that in my work. I work in a mixed environment, and even our life in general is mixed. Like when you go to the coffee shop, you're talking to a guy, and vice versa, you'd be a guy and you would be talking to a woman who's in the cashier. So it's just the social norm of our social life would be that we separate men from women.
Okay. I'm just trying to.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So you are still interacting with men, but I guess when it comes to like close social settings or gatherings, then that's when you're separated, right? Yeah.
And that's the norm.
That's the norm. Okay.
Yeah. But there are people who have still girlfriends and there are those who still have girlfriends. Versa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So just drawing the picture of the norm of what you usually see.
So, okay, I have another question about, like, women there, about, like, how are they like? Like, I'm always being curious, and I used to ask this question to, like, my guy friend who was from Saudi Arabia, and I was like, what are the women there like? Like, what are their hopes and dreams? Like, what do they like doing? Like, you know, do they like their lives there? Or, you know, I don't know, like, I've always been curious about that, because I've never met, as I said, a girl from that part of the world, and I always have been interested, like, what's your life there like? Because, as I said, like, the media paints it a certain way, and looks like, oh, I've always felt like, oh my god, I would never want to be a part of that world, like, you know, because it paints it so negatively, but I know that's not the truth, and I remember you saying when we first met, like, I love my life there, like, we were just, like, treated so well, like, I didn't have to take care of everything myself, I was pampered, so I was curious, and I wanted to hear it from you for this podcast, like, what is it like being a Saudi Arabian woman, I guess, is my question.
So, it's actually very interesting, because you can see the differences between the generations in a way that I don't think I ever saw that in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'm an auntie. I have, I think, 8
nephews and nieces.
And I can see the different generations, the way that I was brought up and the way that I think is very different than my nieces and nephews, and that is very different than how my mother was raised, or what she thinks, or my older sisters. And I think women there have gone through a lot and have developed their own way of thinking in ways that I don't think it was expected for us to do so.
Okay.
And I think a lot of the changes that are happening in Saudi is because of that. It's because younger girls have changed the way that they think, and that changed the lives that they led accordingly.
Yeah.
And it's very different than their mothers or their grandmothers and so on, and those older generations. So when it comes to how girls are there, it varies because as a normal society
Person is different
exactly, and it depends on where you live and what kind of people you surround yourself with, but I mean, they're normal girls, I'd say. Like, our hopes and dreams would be very different, like, for me and the people that are around me. We very value our careers and what we do in our job life. And this is the way that I was raised. My mother was a working woman, and my 2 sisters as well. So I was raised in that environment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people around me, or the girls around me and my friends, we do value our careers very much.
Interesting.
We love music. I'm a very music enthusiast. And yeah. People around me are the same.
Yeah.
So we'd go to concerts. We'd go to fun things that include music.
Yeah.
One of my friends loves going to yoga. I hate yoga, but she loves it.
You hate yoga?
I'm not a yoga person.
You're not? Okay.
I can't shut off my mind.
I think I actually struggle with that too. Like, I like yoga, but I'm like, my brain is constantly running. I'm like, yeah, I can't do this. This is too slow for me. I need to go run. Yeah, I feel that. So that, okay, so it's like, it seems like it's a normal society, like every other culture. Yeah, exactly. And I think, because I think like so many from, you know, the people that I interact with, or you know, even when I didn't know a whole lot about the culture, I used to think that, you know, the women there, I didn't even know what they did. Like, I always felt like, I didn't even know that they were so like work oriented. I thought they were not allowed to work. I thought they were not even, didn't have access to education, or, you know, I had so many misconceptions like before interacting with someone from there, like that part of the world. And then I was like, oh, I'm actually surprised that this is the case. Like, you know, so that's what I'm telling, like, we know so little of the world based on what we hear and see and the narratives that we are told, that we believe that that's the truth, and we never go like try to seek the truth. And I mean, I think, yeah, I always like when people are like open and like have questions, and I'm like, that's nice, like, you know, you're trying to learn about my culture, it's always interesting, instead of just saying something and you're like, oh, okay, that's not appropriate, I think. But yeah, I think so. Yeah, I didn't know that you know, the women there are like so work driven and they have careers. And you said your mom was a working mom too.
Yeah
So that's, see, I didn't know that, so that's what I'm saying, like, people, educate yourself. Girls there are normal. It's not like they're, you know, living deprived of, you know, fun and happiness. Okay, so some of the things that you, we're kind of reaching towards the end before we end. I just want you to, like, say some things that, you know, people probably do not know about Saudi Arabia, that, you know, the listeners that are listening to this episode, you want them to take away from this episode, of some things about your culture, your country, or in general, or your people that you'd like to share.
Well, I just want to say that it's a very normal place, like
every other place.
Exactly. Like, there are a lot of similarities that are around the world that you don't understand until you go out and see. For example, I lived my whole life in a big city in India.
Yeah.
So the way that I think and the way that my friends think is very different from the people that are in my hometown.
Yeah.
And when you come here to the US, it's the same.
Yeah.
A person who was raised in a city is very different than a person who wasn't raised
in
a city.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the differences are very similar. Like,
yeah,
the way that a person who was raised in the city would be way more open-minded than someone who was raised in a smaller place. And the way that that person thinks and what they hope and dream for is very different. And it's very similar. Like, the differences are very similar. When you're raised in a very small place, what you'd think about is just getting married, building a life, having a small career that supports you and your family, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
While if you were raised in a big city, you'd have more goals and more dreams, and you'd be able to meet all those international people, and you'd think more of the world
open-minded
than someone who was raised in a smaller place. And I think that's accurate for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah, that's it. It's just a normal place. Like, we wear different things. We have, like, certain aspects of our culture that are very different from the West. But that doesn't drive us from the fact that we're just humans.
Yeah. You know, that's what I always like to believe at the end of the day, is that we're all humans. And we have some things that are in common. You'll find things in common with anyone in this world. I always feel like, more I interact with people from around the world, and I will be like, oh my god, I don't know if I'll be able to get along with this person because they come from such a different background. And then I start talking to them, I'm like, we're suddenly talking about, I don't know, like some favorite desert, and then we're talking about it, and we're like, oh my god, we're best friends. So I think it's something like that. And I always try to hold on to the fact that we're all humans at the end of the day, and it's just like, we're all the same, no matter what.
And we were all told when we were kids, don't steal, don't lie, we tell the truth. And we were all told the same manners.
Thanks.
And we were all, it's just minor differences that differentiates us.
Yeah.
I don't think that's as important as the media
narrates it to be. Yeah. So I always ask people, we both are language lovers, and I think we kind of vibrate with that as well, because we're like, oh, I am learning this, like, you, we were both learning Spanish, so I saw this morning that you beat me in Spanish, and I was like, I don't have time for this, I have, like, so much work, and I was like, oh my god, why is she beating
I'm
me?
I'm a very competitive person.
I could see that, I was like, oh my god, how am I going to maintain this? But I like that, because it's kind of motivating me to keep going my Spanish, because I've been so bad keeping up with my Spanish lessons, and I need to get up to speed. But yeah, we both love languages, and we're talking about languages. So what is your, I guess, like, favorite word or phrase or something, some quote, I don't know, in Arabic that you can share with us today?
Ooh,
and you can teach me.
Okay. Well, I love music, and yeah. I love Kulthum.
Yes, Kulthum. I know her.
Yeah, and I love her. I love one part of a poem that she sang, which says, "أعطيني حريتي أطلق يديا."
Whoa, wait, that's too fast. Let me catch up. Okay, can you slow it down and tell me, break it down for me, okay, so that I can
so
say
it. So it says, "أعطيني."
أعطيني.
أعطيني, which means give me.
Give me.
أعطيني حريتي.
حريتي, I love that. حريتي.
My freedom.
Give me my freedom. أعطيني حريتي and.
أطلق.
أطلق.
Which means let go.
Let go.
Yadeya.
Yadeya.
Which means my hand.
My hand. Ooh. So deep.
Yadeya.
That's so beautiful.
It was says in a context of love, but it's just a general.
Yeah. Is that a part of the song?
Yep. Yeah.
What song?
I'll send it to you.
Okay, great. It, yeah. I'll probably link it in my description as well, because I loved Kulthum when I first, oh my god, I remember I was with this friend, I keep mentioning, his name was Aziz. I don't know if he listens to this podcast. I don't think he does. But yeah, so he introduced me to Kulthum. And I remember we were doing a sunset hike, and we were watching sunset, and he played, he had this, he was so organized, and he used to bring, he knew how to get the party started. I was telling, he knew how to have fun. And he would get these speakers, and then he would play this Kulthum song. And I remember there was this one part time when we were just watching sunset, and after the sunset a hike, and then we were playing Kulthum. I was like, oh my god, I feel like I'm actually like in some Arabic country, and like in the desert or something, and we're watching sunset. And he laughed, and I was like, yeah, this is such a good music. So I fell in love with her after that, and I know some songs because of TikTok. I'm a little embarrassed to even mention TikTok, but here we are. But I've learned a lot of great things from TikTok. I feel like lot of different songs in different languages, and I told you, I think Sabri Alil was,
yeah,
I kind of, yeah. I know the first paragraph, but I need to look at the lyrics to like really read
which
it,
which is nice. That's a hard song.
It is
very tough,
but it's
song.
So good. It's so catchy too.
It is so catchy, but the words are very tough, and she says it very fast.
Oh yeah,
so
she does.
It's,
oh my
very
god,
impressive that you learned that.
No, there was an English like lyrics translation to it, so I was like, oh my god, I was trying to like,
nice.
Yeah, just like. But I think I'm okay. I'm not that great, but yeah, I think I love Arabic. But I know that it can, it's gonna be hard trying to learn the language, because it's so hard. I can already see it. Okay, great. That was a great quote. Thank you so much for sharing. Thanks so much for coming here and talking to me in person. And we are in a live recording studio from Denver, Colorado, and I've never done this, so I'm so excited. And I know like a lot of people, I've been trying to like bring a lot of people to this podcast, like come and share your story, and I keep telling, and people are like, no, I don't know. So if you, any of you who's listening to this and think that you or your friend would be a good person to share this story, just reach out to me. I'll put some contact information in the description. But thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for coming, Raghad. I so enjoyed talking to
you.
And we'll probably see each other more and go to like, I don't know, get some food, get do some dancing again. So it'll be fun. Thank you.
Thank you very much.